Today's episode is sponsored by Empower. It doesn't matter how much money you have, we all have money questions. Empower has the tech with a real-time dashboard and the people to help you take control of your financial future and empower what's next. Start today at empower.com.
Mike.
Lauren.
How much time are you spending on TikTok these days?
Oh, at least 3 or 4 minutes a day.
That's it?
I'm not a big TikTok user. I'm more of an Insta girly.
Oh my God. I am also not a big TikTok user.
But I am on there occasionally.
Same. Do you see any political content on there?
No. I mostly see like pranks and shenanigans, things like cat videos or like fights that people have recorded at concerts and clubs and stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
Why has the algorithm targeted you with that?
I don't know, but it's disturbing.
Must know you from your mosh pit days.
Maybe.
Well, pretty soon you might not be able to see any of that. You know, cat videos or dance mashups or mosh pits or parodies of people carrying around giant Stanley cups, which happens to be my current favorite.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Well, if that stuff went away, then I would miss some of it.
Yeah. Well, we're making a lot of jokes, but the truth is TikTok is not exactly a joke right now. It's on its way to very possibly being banned in the United States.
I would love to hear more about this.
We should talk about it.
Okay, let's do it.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Gadget Lab. I'm Lauren Good. I'm a senior writer at Wired.
And I'm Michael Calori. I'm Wired's director of consumer tech and culture.
And we're joined this week by Wired's politics writer, McKenna Kelly, who is zooming from our office in New York. Hey, McKenna.
Hey, it's good to be here.
It's great to have you on. So today we're talking about TikTok. Big news this week. At the time that we are taping this, Wednesday, March 13th, the U.S. House of Representatives approved a bill that would require TikTok's parent company, China-based ByteDance, to either sell TikTok or have the app banned on devices in the U.S. It was a huge, huge landslide of a vote, 352-65. So TikTok may seem like just another social video app for phone-obsessed teenagers, but over the past few years, it's been totally caught up in this political fray. First of all, TikTok is massively popular. And because it's owned by a Chinese tech company, U.S. politicians have expressed concerns that data from U.S. users is being shared with a Chinese company, and they say that TikTok poses a threat to national security. We're wondering if this is the case. So, McKenna, in the first half of this podcast, we want to talk about exactly how TikTok works, basically on the data sharing side of things, and why the House voted so overwhelmingly against its usage. And then later on in the show, we're going to talk about the trickle-down effects on other apps. Tell us what happened with the vote.
Sure. So like you said, it was an overwhelming vote to essentially ban TikTok. This was championed by a lot of House Republicans who have been pushing this for years, which is funny because it seemed like we had gotten to a point where the lines on banning TikTok were very clear, the political lines. And now they're really kind of confusing and a bit dizzying because we've seen Joe Biden join the app. And then, of course, Trump, who's now backtracking on wanting to ban it. It's just a very confusing time, which is making like deciding whether if this would get approved in the Senate even more complicated.
Right. So this bill in the House had bipartisan support, obviously, with the voting numbers being what they were. Was that surprising?
Yeah, no. I mean, this has been overwhelmingly like bipartisan in some ways. It's bringing together a lot of the similar China hawks folks. So like Senator Mark Warner, who's a Democrat in Virginia, he had a bill last year called the Restrict Act that kind of does some similar things to this bill that kind of stalled out and didn't really go anywhere. So it's been bipartisan in a lot of the circles of, you know, intelligence and foreign relations focused senators, but more progressive Democrats like Representative Jamal Bowman, Representative Maxwell Frost, and AOC, of course, they're on the side of not wanting to ban it. They all voted no today. But House Republicans, of course, are really excited about it.
And does TikTok have a good First Amendment argument here?
Yeah, I mean, that's been the argument that they've been making for several years now. I think the one case where it's really proven to work somewhat so far was, I'm sure everyone remembers when Montana was the first state to ban TikTok in the entire state. And immediately, TikTok sued the state. Now, the case hasn't been entirely resolved yet, but in the latter half of last year, a federal judge heard TikTok's case and decided not to let this bill go into effect at the first of this year. TikTok's entire case, like talking to that judge, was First Amendment and like free speech suppression.
You mentioned that President Joe Biden just got onto the platform. His campaign posted a Biden campaign video in January. Is that right? February? It was during the Super Bowl, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was during the Super Bowl. It was a strange, I'll just call it strange. It was weird. But it was Biden, what looked like his living room, looking at the camera, answering these like yes or no questions, like Chiefs or whoever. And then at the end, it's like rigging the Super Bowl to get an endorsement from Taylor Swift. And he's like, I can't tell you that. And then it's like a picture of dark Brandon laser eyes. That one was very silly and strange. But they've been doing a lot of other videos as well. It seems like they're posting multiple times a day at this point, doing very similar stuff. Like, it's mostly taking TV clips that look bad for Trump and good for Biden and then posting those on TikTok.
And meanwhile, the president has said that if this bill gets through the Senate and it lands on his desk, he will sign it.
He has. He was asked by reporters as soon as this bill, I think, passed through committee last week if he would sign it. And he said he would, which is very, very funny when you look at Trump, who now doesn't want to ban the app.
And this is interesting because back in 2020, Larry Ellison, the chairman of Oracle, made a bid to buy TikTok. He kind of outmaneuvered Microsoft for this bid. And then that fell through because Biden was elected president and effectively quieted some of the alarm bells about TikTok. So, I understand this correctly, McKenna, this is like a bit of a flip-flop on the part of the Biden administration.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of seeming that way. There's been this whole process with like a CFIUS review and like all of this conversations about selling off TikTok, and those conversations have completely stalled. So I don't know if this bill, it's really hard to know why Republicans brought up this bill now, but other than maybe like elections and saying something positive that they've done, I guess. But yeah, no, there's still a lot of questions on that. And even if a sale is possible or if ByteDance would even be willing to sell it in the first place.
I think the point you make about Republicans bringing this up now is interesting because there has been a lot of interest among politicians and the electorate about regulating the tech industry. And while this bill is not explicitly regulating the tech industry, it certainly smells a lot like government regulation of the tech industry, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, the biggest problem with TikTok that all these lawmakers are pointing out is a privacy concern. It's about our data going over into the Chinese government and then being used for surveillance purposes. Well, a lot of US-based tech companies collect a lot of data. And even when we got in this big privacy fight in 2018, when Facebook was embroiled in the Cambridge Analytica scandal, right? That was really, really hot. And nothing really came from that either, which is strange now with seeing how fast and just how quickly this TikTok bill is moving. And I don't even want to I have to say that this is moving incredibly fast. Like, this bill was introduced on Tuesday, and then the next day it was approved out of committee. First of all, that is completely unheard of. That does not happen in the US Congress right now.
Yeah, it's kind of like as quickly as they pass healthcare bills, right?
Right. It was incredibly slow. And the fact that we have a floor vote today, Wednesday, is crazy. It's absolutely crazy. But, you know, we have no idea if Chuck Schumer is going to bring this up to the floor anytime soon. He hasn't really had any indication. So it could just be really, really fast and die off.
All right, let's take a quick break there and we'll be back with more TikTok.
Empower has the tech that can help get your money questions answered. What is your net worth? Are you saving enough? Are you on track for retirement? With the free and easy to use Empower Personal Dashboard, you can see your net worth, plan out your retirement age, track spending, create budgets, and more. And if you need a technology break, get a free second opinion by having a real live conversation with one of Empower's financial professionals to get clarity on your real life financial goals. Join 18 million Americans in Empower and take control of your financial future to empower what's next. Download the free app for Apple or Android now, or check out empower.com.
Okay, so it's safe to say at this point that TikTok has become a total political pawn. There are concerns about personal data sharing and nefarious uses of that data, which may be valid. But those concerns are not just around TikTok. This happens on other social media apps too, including those that have originated in the United States. But the fact that the U.S. House actually moved on a vote around TikTok signals that politicians are determined to make their stamp on it this year. So we're wondering what might be the trickle-down effects of this on other apps. McKenna, before we get to that, what do we think is actually going to happen in the Senate vote?
Yeah, so it's kind of complicated right now. Like I said, the politics are incredibly hazy. The former president and the current president have their hands in it in a very strange way. And then, of course, lines are being blurred, like I said. But we're looking at the Senate. No one's really indicated yet what they would do. People are looking at it. Strangely, Lindsey Graham on the Sunday shows this weekend said that he didn't want TikTok to be banned. This man is a China hawk and has been for a very long time. And it's strange to see him say that after Trump made these Truth Social posts. So
maybe Lindsey really likes TikTok.
Maybe he just got into it. You know, maybe he just made an account. Oh, he's like, actually, this is really nice. I'm curious what he would be watching.
Yeah.
Or maybe not. But yeah, no, it seems like if this were to go into the Senate, I think the bill would change in some ways. I'm not entirely sure, but this is definitely like it's moved really fast. I think they're going to want to take a deeper look at it. And it could be a couple weeks or months. But like I said, the Congress moves so slow and the Senate moves even slower. It is fewer people and it still moves even slower. So there's a lot, you know, still up in the air.
And we should also note that, you know, even if it continues to move very quickly, it's still going to be a while before TikTok ever actually gets banned. Because correct me if I'm wrong, McKenna, but the way that the bill is written now, companies who are based in countries that have an adversarial relationship with the United States will have 165 days to sell their app or sell their interest in the company that runs the app to either a United States company or like an ally of the United States. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. 165 days. And the thing with ByteDance specifically is that they've said time and time again that they would rather be banned than sell. So. Okay.
So, you know, ByteDance is a Chinese company, but this bill would affect apps from all over China and from other countries that we don't do business with, like Russia and Iran.
Yeah, I'm imagining WeChat being a very important one, where a lot of Chinese Americans use that to talk to people, their family in China. That app is very similar, where that could get a lot of attention and be asked for some kind of divestment. There are a ton of apps that people use every day that I think are very integral to their lives that could be affected.
Hmm. Do we have a sense of how this might affect a company like Meta, which is based in the US but has a family of apps that operate all around the world?
Sure. That's not entirely clear. I really doubt that this bill will do too much to hurt Meta. Meta has been reportedly lobbying in favor of this ban on TikTok for obvious reasons. But there is definitely a lot of energy right now going towards regulating tech in many, many ways. This is, of course, an election year, so I don't want to get anyone's hopes up too much. These lawmakers are doing a lot of other things right now. But they're also pursuing child safety legislation, COSA, the Protecting Kids Online Act, are all being debated right now. And TikTok was hauled in before Congress just a few weeks ago with Mark Zuckerberg and Linda Yaccarino at X to talk about how they're protecting kids online in face of this threat of this bill.
Okay, so let's just say that I'm a TikTok creator and that I have 250,000 followers on TikTok, right?
What is it that you're influencing on? What's your shtick?
I'm telling people how they can achieve their greatest creative potential.
Posting your morning routines.
Exactly.
Gary Vee.
Cold plunges.
Yes. Squash it. Squash it. That's my catchphrase. Not crush it. So the app is banned. And now I have this giant platform that I've spent years building that a number of days is going to go away. Like, what is a creator to do? Solve my problem for me.
Diversify revenue streams.
That's what Gary Vee would say.
But yeah, no, I think that's really what a lot of people are looking at. I don't think it's lost on creators that platforms come and go and things change on platforms all the time and you need to shift. Being a creator in many ways is just adapting to all kinds of changes. I mean, everyone speaks in algo speak. There is this online, right? People have this understanding of the algorithm and this need to adapt. And so they're already, you know, joining, being more focused on Instagram or, you know, whatever threads. I've seen some threads influencers, which are very silly lately. but yeah, it's just putting yourself everywhere. And I think this is something creators are used to doing.
McKenna, if you had to rate the silliness of either the Biden TikTok ad or people trying to be influencers on Threads, which is the silliest?
Probably the Threads influencers, because it's a weird mix of like people who posted on Twitter when it was Twitter and then like LinkedIn with like the weird spacing of every line and everything is so self-important and self-serious. At least Biden is kind of making fun of himself a little bit on TikTok.
Fair. Totally fair. Are there any groups of creators who are lobbying for this not to be banned for that reason?
Yeah. I mean, last year I went to the hearings with the TikTok CEO for the first time, and they had a lot of creators show up to this press conference when the Restrict Act was happening, when all of this was, you know, when we hit our first big peak on like TikTok ban stuff. There's definitely a lot of people talking about it. I know Under the Desk News has been really big on explaining this every day. And a bunch of other creators have been like really, really on it, explaining it to their audiences.
Right. Because as much as there's potential for any social app to be leaking personal data in a way that can be used against users, this also seems like it has the potential to cut off an important stream of information during an election year in the US. And a lot of people would probably argue that this isn't necessarily high quality information. But there have been Talk the Vote campaigns on TikTok in the past. It is where younger people are increasingly getting their news. It seems like there could be consequences around just information flow too.
Yeah, I mean, our habits have changed a lot really quickly on how we consume news. And the thing too is, I think Facebook is still the biggest social media distributor of news or whatever when it comes to election stuff. TikTok is getting bigger though, because I think you remember just a couple weeks ago, Meta announced that it wasn't going to be amplifying politics and news stuff in people's news feeds. So I think that's part of the reason why people were moving to TikTok, because they don't have those kinds of rules, you know, where it's like being very clear about what's amplified and suppressed and all of that. And so it's at this point, if TikTok disappears, a lot of other social platforms that politicians, campaigns, journalists use are very hostile to the content that they're producing.
Well, this has been a really great explainer of what's been going on with TikTok. We're likely going to have more news on this soon, so be sure to read McKenna's story and then check Wired.com for updates. Let's take another quick break, and we're going to come back with our non-algo recommendations. McKenna, as our guest of honor and in-house TikTok expert, what's your recommendation?
Oh man, I am back in the office for the first time in a while. And I think my recommendation, ooh, this sucks. I feel bad saying this, is going into the office a little bit. mostly because I feel very good about my choice to come in today. I had to, A. But also B.
McKenna, blink twice if management is in the room with you.
It's the security guard from earlier. Right now, a lot of our other Condé magazines are trying out new products and stuff, and they're putting it on the kitchen table. And I think I snagged $100 worth of skincare today. and it's in my bag ready to take home. So there are some perks to going into the office. That's my recommendation.
That is definitely the perk of working next to other brands such as Vogue and Allure. Like, yeah. At Wired, we're like, here's a battery pack that someone didn't need.
Yeah.
And you go to the New York office and there's all kinds of fancy stuff.
Yeah. It's also, you're telling people to go back to the office so they can get all the goodies from the other Condé Nast brands.
Yeah. This is so purely Condé advice.
McKenna's not like, wow, my collaboration just went, you know, you're not saying, oh, my productivity or collaboration just went through the roof. It's come get this swag.
Mm-hmm. My productivity has not been the best today.
Well, you've got a lot going on. You were also on TV earlier today, right?
Yeah. Yep. That was at 2:00. And then I was on radio just before I came here.
Well, it sounds like a pretty good day at the office.
Yeah, it's fun.
Thanks for that recommendation.
Yes.
So, McKenna, do you think you're going to make this a regular thing?
I think I have to, because we're working on some stuff here in the office that I do need to be here for that I cannot talk about yet.
I like this tease.
Yeah.
You're gonna have to come back on the show when you're ready to talk about it.
Yes.
Mike, what's your recommendation?
My recommendation is, now bear with me here, it is multivitamin drink mix.
Okay. You guys are all on the wellness train today. Tell me more.
This is important because like right now is the time when we're just through like the winter months are ending. We're just through that period where like everybody that we know is sick. So we're letting our guard down. It is very important to not let your guard down. In fact, you should keep your defenses up. And a great way to do that is to add some multivitamin drink mix to your water that you drink. So we're all drinking tons of water, right? We all have our giant Stanley tumblers and our big sippy cups that we walk around with. So when you fill that thing 3 or 4 times a day, one of those times you should add multivitamin drink mix. There are a lot to choose from. There's a very popular brand called Emergency, mm-hmm. with like a big capital C at the end to signal that it's stuffed with vitamin C. I would like to recommend an ersatz competitor to... to Emergency. I shouldn't call them that. It's a very good company. The company's called EnerLife, and they make something called EnerC, which I really like because it has a lot of natural ingredients and it's sugar-free, and you just dump it into your water and it tastes better than the other multivitamin mix powders that I've used. So this is how I get my multivitamins. This is like how I make sure that I stay a healthy, growing young boy, is I drink one of these a day in one of my big things of water, my big like liter jug of water that I drink every day at the office.
Now, doesn't the FTC require you to now disclose this as an ad?
No, yeah. It's not an ad. This is not SponCon. This is me saying like, look, you've tasted these things and most of them are nasty. I have found the one that is the least nasty of all of them. And it's specifically, it's the tangerine and grapefruit flavor that they make in NRC, which I can recommend because I bought the variety pack. I tried them all. And this is the only one that I finished. So
this is great. This whole career for you as a hustler influencer on TikTok.
Yeah.
I like this, Mike.
Yep. Like and subscribe.
Yeah, that's right. Smash that subscribe button.
Duet with me.
May I ask you a gross question?
Sure.
Is it true that if you just consume a lot of these little packets, which I have, I usually bring an entire baggie of them to CES and other conferences.
Yeah. Where they're
running
great
around.
Great for traveling.
And, yeah.
Great for traveling.
You know, basically, yeah, for travel. Is there a point at which you take too much and you are just peeing it out?
Well, you should take one a day. I feel like one a day is plenty because we're like, these things are just, you get like 400% of the recommended daily allowance of, you know, like vitamin B12 or whatever. And like all the vitamins are just off the charts. So like one a day is probably fine.
Okay.
I'm sure if you had 2 or 3, like your mm-hmm. pee would probably smell really funny and turn bright green.
Green.
Which we've all experienced, those of us who've experimented with multivitamins.
Okay.
Yes, producer Boone is nodding his head vigorously right now. I don't know, Lauren, ask me another question.
Well, I'm just going to put the disclaimer out there that Mike is not a doctor.
That's right.
thank you for that recommendation.
What's yours?
My recommendation is a repeat from an earlier episode because Kate Nibbs joined the show a few weeks back and she recommended this, the movie American Fiction. Just won an Oscar for Best Adapted Screenplay, written by Cord Jefferson. Blogger done good, by the way. Cord mm-hmm. Jefferson has written for a number of outlets, but used to write for Gizmodo and then got into TV writing and then adapted this book. The book is called Erasure by Percival Everett, and Cord adapted it into the screenplay for American Fiction. It's a very good film. I highly recommend everyone check it out. Kate did a great job of describing it, and she also knows Cord Jefferson, so she talked a little bit about that. In an earlier episode. But yeah, Kate did forget to mention one key detail in that episode.
Which is?
Cord Jefferson is a stud. Look, I don't make the rules.
Is he a zaddy? Does he
qualify? I don't know. I think a zaddy is like suggests a certain age, right? And I think he's youngish. I don't know. Anyway, maybe Boone will cut that out. Also, listen, the most important thing, very talented writer, okay?
Okay.
All right. That's okay. My recommendation if you haven't seen the movie yet.
He looks good in a tux.
Sure. You said it, not me. All right. That's our show. McKenna, thank you for joining us. It's been great having you on.
Yeah, and thanks for having me.
And thank you all for listening. If you have feedback, you can find all of us on Twitter. Gosh, we're still saying that, huh?
I'm on TikTok. I don't know what you're talking about.
If you have feedback, you can find Mike on TikTok. Mikey V is his name.
And my handle is @Wired.
We're also on Blue Sky, Mastodon, Threads. We're LinkedIn influencers. Mm-hmm. Find us all there. Just check the show notes. We'll link to some stuff. Our producer is the excellent Boone Ashworth, who takes his multivitamins every day. Goodbye for now. We'll be back next week.
Now that the show is over, check out Empower's app we mentioned earlier. With the free Empower dashboard, you can see your net worth, plan out your retirement age, track spending, and more. You can also connect with Empower's financial professionals and get a free second opinion to help with your money questions. Join 18 million Americans and take control of your financial future to empower what's next. Download the free app for Apple and Android devices now or visit empower.com.